Wow. No questions. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that the commission approve Northwestern's petition for a declaratory ruling, and that the costs in question are in fact part of the cost of energy that's actually delivered under the contract, and they should be entitled for recovery under the fuel clause.
Discussion on the motion. I am compelled to reluctantly oppose the motion for the sole reason that I am, as I read SDCL 49-34A-25, I can't get past the word delivered. To me, the wording of the statute clearly implies that the energy must be, that we're talking about payments for energy delivered that can go into that clause. It's one of, that they need to take to the legislature, that we can allow them to include payments for energy. Reluctantly, I'm going to oppose the motion.
Further argument, and what tipped me from, regardless of the fact, I don't put a lot of weight that they should go to the legislature. Then it, I think we need to at least give them a fair warning on it. And if I may, those people who actually.
Thank you. Additional discussion. Commissioner Feagin.
And we put it in the fuel clause, and that's what actually.
Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner PL 12-058 in the matter of the Joint Request for Service Rights Exception, Inc. And the question being, shall the commission approve the requested service rights exception?
Yankton Electric Association to provide a three-phase electric service to an irrigation well of miles away, and it would cost them approximately $168,000 to build them. I would add Merlin Gehring of BY Electric is on medical leave, so he's not on the phone.
We're in agreement with this as well, so.
Thank you. Question
58, move that the commission approve the requested service where our customers get the lowest deal. So thank you for working together.
Significant load, but realizing the cost of getting it there and in the interest of, we have a motion?
Yes.
All those in
favor?
Yes.
This is Al Brogan. I will go ahead and drop off the call at this time.
Very good.
Yes. Yes, we have.
Very good. We are now moving to Eltba Electric Co-op. Mr. Tisdall.
Thank you, Mr. Chandler of Cherry Todd is in a board meeting today. And
it's Dad.
No, it's a done deal, I think.
Well, 12-059, the commission approved the proposed electric service tariff. Tisdall votes aye. Motion carries. Mr. Clayton, you are correct. It is a done deal. 12-006. In the matter of the filing by Montana Dix and associated tariff revisions.
Today, Montana Dakota is proposing to introduce an interruptible tariff is available to customers with an input rating of at least 2.5. Dakota has been requested by a customer on the system for transportation. Transportation service tariff is similar to the service Montana Dakota, the otherwise applicable general service rate 76 charge. Tariff also includes two other noteworthy differences from the black claims used as a result of a customer's failure to curtail or in addition to that change, a cash-out mechanism is proposed to be in the event more gas is delivered on the customer's behalf than is used by the Ventura Index price. In the event the customer uses more based on the greater of the company's weighted average cost of gas or the Ventura Index price, the payment or purchase rate will be adjusted according to the severity of the imbalance, and those are noted on the tariff sheet. Montana Dakota requests approval effective January 1, 2013. Thank you. Bob Mormon and I are available for questions.
Thank you. We'll go to staff first and then questions. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman. As MDU alluded to, this is a new rate pursuant to the request by the state for transportation service. We submitted data requests to the company, and I believe the commissioners have had a chance to review those questions and answers. The as a new rate, sometimes, you know, one of the things that pops into mind are the additional revenues that may occur from a new service like this, but it appears that the state is merely switching from sales service over to transport service, so that alleviates that concern somewhat. I would just note that we have been aware that MDU is planning to file a rate case very shortly, and this rate is subject to review in that rate case, and it can be looked at as an interim rate, in other words. And with that understanding, then we would recommend approval.
Questions from the commission for either party? Go ahead, Greg.
Does that mean, with regard to those three elements that are not in line with what currently is on file in the Black Hills, that those will be changed to conform whatever is ordered in the rate case? We're talking specifically about the base rate waiver, the decatherm per decatherm penalty, and the different treatment of imbalances.
Well, if I understand your question, all of that would be subject to review.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Okay. So whatever the commission orders in the rate case, these will be made to conform to that decision.
Yes, it is available for that, yes.
Additional questions? If I could ask Mr. Jacobson, just so that I am absolutely crystal clear, the fact that the transport rate has a minimum and a maximum that will end up being negotiated, yes. We can be absolutely assured that none of the proportionate cost to serve this customer will be pushed off on any of the other customers, correct?
That is the wording in the service agreement allows for that, and also pursuant to one of our questions in a data request, yes. I just leave it at that, I guess.
Thank you. Other commissioner questions? Very good. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in Natural Gas 12-006 docket, move that the Commission approve MBU's proposed new East River Transportation Rate 86 and the associated tariff revisions.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Moving to telecommunications, TC 12-161, in the matter of the filing by AT&T Corp for approval of its access services and network interconnection services tariff. AT&T.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp on behalf of AT&T. We filed a tariff to reflect the change in our corporate name that we notified the commission of earlier from AT&T Communications of the Midwest into the roll-up, which is AT&T Corp. There's been some interaction between Brian Rounds and people with AT&T with some questions on the tariff and the minor changes that were made. And if there are any questions, I'd be available to answer those.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Brian Rounds for staff. I just call this a cleanup tariff change. There's the change in the name, then there's also some other kind of things like continued was abbreviated before, and it was spelt out throughout the rest of the tariff, and then there are some other small things, but nothing that changes any rate or practice, so I'd recommend approval.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Fegan.
Mr. Chairman, in TC 12-161, move that the Commission approve AT&T's tariff revisions.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 12-185, in the matter of the filing by Common Point LLC for approval of its access services tariff number 1, and we have a motion from AT&T to request that the tariff be suspended. We will go to AT&T first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Bill Van Camp on behalf of AT&T Corp. Our motion to suspend was contained in our original intervention motion. I've talked to the attorney for Common Point and attorney for staff. At this point, they've also, Common Point has also filed for a certificate of authority, and so this gets back to what I said at the previous commission hearing. Is this a chicken and an egg conversation? We would request, though, pending that docket and continued negotiations between the companies, that the tariff is suspended pursuant to statute and commission rule. I will say that the companies are in discussions in other jurisdictions concerning the same issues that appear to be before us here in South Dakota, and so hopefully those will resolve themselves, and then this matter can just be resolved amongst the parties and brought before the commission in a proper form. Thank you.
I like that. Good testimony. Thank you. Common Point.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. Kara Semler here on behalf of Common Point LLC. I agree with AT&T. When I was before you last, at the last meeting, I suggested that we all put a procedural schedule together and maybe propose that. I don't think we're going to need it. Based on what's happening in other states, I do believe we will arrive at language agreeable to AT&T, agreeable to Common Point, and to staff. So at this point, we do not disapprove or object at all to the suspension and think it will give us plenty of time to arrive at a resolution.
Thank you. Before you move on, I'm going to stop because I know we've got some questions at this point. Rolaine, do you want to?
My question is, your tariff was filed. There's no issue date or proposed effective date. And so I was just concerned about what would be the date that we would suspend it from. It's generally the statute refers to beyond the proposed effective date, but I don't know what the company is proposing.
They did not propose an effective date, and we're intending to use a commission approval date as their effective date. So I would look to AT&T's input too, but I think as a date to begin the suspension, is the filing date going to give us enough time? I see Mr. Van Camp nodding. So if we could begin the 180-day, I think, total suspension from the date of filing, would that work?
I guess maybe my question is, a different question is this. If the company isn't going to be putting this into effect until such time as it receives a COA, is there anything to suspend at this point?
Please.
I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to figure out
how
the order would be written as far as, suspending the tariff.
Commissioner, I agree, Ms. Wiest, that theoretically, if they don't request a date where it goes into effect, it begs the question of whether or not we can request the suspension. Here, and I say this with the best of intentions for all the parties involved, I can see where the filing of a tariff and a lapse of time beyond a statutory framework were to occur, that the argument could be made that the tariff was gone into effect. Now, this commission might ultimately determine that the tariff did not go in effect, but in a multi-jurisdictional dispute or a problem in searching for a resolution, my client would not want the filing of a tariff with a lapsing of a 120-day period to be used in another jurisdiction as attempted evidence that this tariff is in place. Certainly Common Point is here today not attempting to assert that it is in effect and is conceding the suspension while we continue to negotiate in other jurisdictions. And I'm making a circular argument here. But if this is not suspended and it is filed and you run the 120-day period, a clever lawyer in the state of North Carolina, Florida, wherever, could argue that a tariff has been on file in the state of South Dakota, has exceeded the time frame for suspension, and has gone into effect by statute. Now, I don't think that's what's going on here, because I know that there are good faith negotiations going on, and it's my understanding in at least one other jurisdiction the companies have reached a resolution on tariff language changes. That's my fear. I certainly don't believe Ms. Semler or her client are filing something here and attempting to do that, but sometimes parties change and practices change.
Common Point does intend to obtain its certificate of authority before it will offer any services. So while we do not object to a suspension, I do not believe there's any fear at this point if the suspension is not granted, as the company has no intention of putting the tariff into effect.
Any additional questions?
And so what is AT&T's position? Do you still think we need a suspension?
I do, and only for this reason. There have been other matters before this commission in the past where this commission has decided to not take immediate action, and that was used in proceedings before the FCC or federal court as an opportunity to claim that that inaction was acquiescence to something that had occurred, and that's my fear. I don't have any indication that Common Point is headed towards that or will do that. I have none whatsoever, but that has occurred before, and so for that reason, the filing of the tariff, I think this is the chicken and the egg problem, compels me to come forward and ask that it be suspended, even though it doesn't have a date for implementation.
Then I guess as a matter of caution, I think the commission can suspend the tariff.
Okay, I wanted to have that interaction before I turned to staff so that they kind of knew what was on our plate. Staff.
Yeah, we've discussed that issue, and it would seem to us that if the tariff is suspended, it's kind of an open-ended suspension, because they have not proposed an effective date. It just would continue to be suspended until probably reversed, or allowed, addressed by the commission at a later time, where we would remove this suspension. That's the way we would look at it.
Okay. Questions from the commission? Marlene.
Does Common Point have any objection to the commission suspending the tariff until such time as it receives the COA?
No objection.
At this point, and then from that point at the time, the commission, I assume, could go back and perhaps suspend longer if it needed to, but maybe at this point that would be our starting point.
AT&T good with that?
Mr. Chairman, AT&T did not intervene in the Certificate of Authority docket. We merely had some problem with some of the language in the tariff, and that's been multi-jurisdictional. So we certainly have no problem with that suggestion.
Questions from the Commission? Is there a motion? I will move in TC 12-185 that the Commission grant AT&T's request to suspend the tariff until such time as a COA is granted. Discussion on the motion.
Excuse me, Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
Would that be, would the granting of the COA be the beginning of the suspension?
No. My intention would be to suspend until that time. And we may need to revisit suspension at that time, but this would get us to that point.
Okay.
And hopefully it will all of it resolve itself by that point. Discussion from the commission. Commissioner Hansen.
I would just make note of Mr. Van Camp's diplomacy in referring to clever attorneys from South Carolina as opposed to South Dakota.
I did note that, yes. Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Pekin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Thank you both. TC 12-187, in the matter of the filing for approval of the wireline interconnection agreement between Quest Corp. DBA, CenturyLink QC, and Hypercube Telecom LLC. Mr. Topp?
Thank you, Chairman. This is an adoption of a CLEC opting into an existing interconnection agreement, and we'd ask that it be approved.
Thank you. Staff?
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. The agreement was properly filed, properly executed, and does not appear to contain discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed. Staff would recommend the commission approve the agreement.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Mr. Chairman, in TC 12-187, move that the commission approve the interconnection agreement.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 12-190, in the matter of the filing by Quest Corp. DBA CenturyLink for approval of waiver of the utilization threshold requirements in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Mr. Topp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a request by CenturyLink for a waiver of utilization requirements in order to allow us to provide Centrex service using existing numbers out of a host switch in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So we're asking that the commission approve this request and therefore allow the numbers to be released from the numbering authority.
Thank you. Before I go to staff, I'm going to turn to just an initial question that maybe you can resolve for me quickly. As I was reading through this, it harkened back to, I thought I'd read this very recently in another docket. Can you explain to me how this differs from the recent docket that dealt with the same issue and apparently almost identical circumstances?
I'd have to defer to Ms. Husted regarding that.
This is Paula Husted with CenturyLink. I'm not familiar with the previous one, Chairman. However, I would say it is probably due to the fact that it is a different customer.
I don't think so. That's not what I'm taking out of this. Okay, well, with those answers, I'm going to turn to staff, and maybe we can try to get to the bottom of this. Staff.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm aware that DACA was TC 12-123, I believe. We did look at that. I'm not aware of the differences, but I did review the decision in that. And we would recommend approval with the condition that CenturyLink return 9 of the 10 blocks to the number pool, as was done in that docket. But I'm not specifically aware of the exact differences between the two filings.
Okay, well then I've got to follow with a question to staff. I mean, as I read those, they're almost, if not entirely, the same question. And so are we duplicating what we did before? Are we accomplishing anything with this docket that we didn't accomplish in that one? What are we doing?
It was my impression that it was just an additional need for additional numbers.
Okay, with that, then I want to turn to CenturyLink and explain to us why there is an additional need beyond what was granted in TC 12-123.
Mr. Chairman, it's Paula Husted again. Unfortunately, I only joined the company November 19th, so that is why I'm not aware of any previous docket. I guess I'll have to find out.
Well, Mr. Topp, can you help us out? You've been around.
Yeah, I have been around, and I am a... unfortunately, I'm a bit confused by this as well. I'm wondering if it would make sense to table this request and have us come back at the next commission meeting.
Well, if we can't get answers to our questions, that's exactly what's going to happen, because I'm absolutely at a loss as to why we're getting an identical request.
And maybe I could, this is Rolaine Wiest, maybe I could point out the letter appeared to be the same. The only one of the differences I could see is that there is a different switching identification code for the switch. Is it a different switch? I mean, it's not reflected by the letter. It's just mentioned in the accompanying documents.
That may well be the case, but I don't want to make a representation without knowing that firsthand. So I'd suggest it be tabled and we come back before you as soon as we possibly can.
Okay, Jason, I appreciate your that comment. Other questions from the commissioners? Okay, if not, I think by agreement on this end, we're going to defer this docket to our next regular scheduled meeting, which is going to be the 15th of January, and hopefully you can find some answers to those questions for us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, just a couple of announcements. We will be reconvening in this room at 1:30 this afternoon for a hearing in docket Grain Warehouse 12-002. Commissioners and staff will be meeting with representatives of Northwestern Energy tomorrow morning in room 413 for a briefing. And our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, January 15th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Time change up because of the legislative session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. All those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.